Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. We're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for public telecommunication, thanks to a generous gift from Robert and Alice Campbell. It's 2:40. In sports this afternoon, Brett Favre is practicing with Minnesota, practicing with the Vikings in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, wearing the jersey number 4. And the Vikings have confirmed he has agreed to play for Minnesota this fall. Chicago Bears receiver Devin Hester says he was upset at first about quarterback Jay Cutler's weekend comment that Hester failed to break up an interception in the preseason loss to Buffalo. Hester notes, however, that he and Cutler are just getting to know one another. The St. Louis Cardinals take on the Dodgers again tonight in Los Angeles. The Cards have won 9 of 10 games to extend their lead in the National League Central. Mitchell Boggs, is the scheduled starter for St. Louis. Ryan Dempster gets the start for the Chicago Cubs tonight in San Diego. Last night's loss to the Padres drops the Cubs 6 games behind the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League Central race. And the Chicago White Sox enter tonight's game with Kansas City just 2 games out in the American League Central division. Freddie Garcia returns to the mound after signing a minor league deal with Chicago in June. Garcia was a member of the Sox team that won the World Series in 2005. That's sports. President Obama's program to help people avoid mortgage foreclosure is off to a slow start. A new report shows that fewer than 10% of homeowners who qualify under this plan have gotten their loans modified. One group claims it has an answer. The Save the Dream tourist traveling the country promising same-day solutions to many people who seek help. Deb Youssef from member station WABE reports from Atlanta.
2,000 people filed into Atlanta's downtown convention center on a recent morning. Some had waited overnight.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay, slow it down, everybody. Slow it down, please.
The stories of how they got here were as varied as they were. For one couple, the trouble began when their adjustable interest rate rose to 8%. Another family's income fell from $200,000 a year to $20,000 when the construction industry collapsed. In a few hours, they all hoped they could walk out with a low-interest, 30-year, fixed-rate mortgage.
How many people here think it sounds too good to be true? Yeah. You didn't raise your hand. Everybody should raise their hand.
Bruce Marks is the CEO of NACA, the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. He says 80% of the people who show up get their loans modified for free. The group restructures the existing loan by determining an affordable payment. They then get the interest rate and/or principal permanently reduced. Marks launched the 10-city Save the Dream Tour because he thinks the federal program isn't working. He says President Obama's financial incentives haven't compelled lenders or servicers to help homeowners.
We want him to adapt the NACA standard that says stop pleading, begging, and bribing these lenders and servicers. Require them to do it. Because if you don't, the job won't get done.
NACA has legally binding agreements with all the major private U.S. lenders. It got those through what Marks calls nonviolent bank terrorism, showing up at the homes of CEOs of major lenders with hordes of protesters. And it's worked. 100 representatives of these institutions travel with the tour, working out agreements on the spot. That's why Mike and Nancy Rockensteier came. Mike tells a credit counselor the details of their budget.
I'm hoping for a reduction in payment of $400 to $500 where it can be reasonable. I'm hoping to keep my home.
Mike sells TVs on commission at an electronics store, but sales have dropped and his income has been cut in half. He says he tried working it out with their lender, Bank of America, but got the runaround. As it turned out, a B of A representative here wasn't able to help him much either. Mike's loan is backed by the Federal Housing Administration, which doesn't work with NACA. About a third of homeowners who come to the Save the Dream Tour are in the same situation. Government lenders like the FHA, Freddie Mac, and the VA aren't allowed to lower their interest rates to what NACA wants. But recently, the FHA has started paying attention. Commissioner David Stevens came to the Atlanta event and says the operation is a success, but it would be hard to copy on the national level.
I think it's an outstanding model, but in the broader term, based on the 3 million or so people that are facing foreclosure, those people, you know, can't be handled in an event that handles, you know, thousands. There have to be much broader solutions.
Stevens says the Obama administration believes in working more closely with the lending institutions to solve the problem. The tour resumes next month with stops in Phoenix, California, and New York. For NPR News, I'm Odette Youssef in Atlanta.
It's 2:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Prairie Center Health Systems will screen a portion of the award-winning 2007 HBO documentary Addiction this evening at the First United Methodist Church at 210 West Church Street in Champaign. A discussion will follow. The event from 7 o'clock to 8:30 tonight is free and open to the public. The documentary segment that will be shown tonight is The Science of Addiction. The moderator of tonight's event is Prairie Center CEO Bruce Swardini. He joins me this afternoon to talk about the film and the discussion that will follow tonight's screening. Thanks, Bruce.
Hello.
Hi. So how significant a problem is substance abuse and addiction in our community?
Well, it's a very big problem. We treat over 7,000 people in the three-county area, and what we're finding is the safety net is eroding in the state of Illinois, meaning those who try to get services, and as our programs are being cut, that the backup occurs and people are on a waiting list the longer period of time to get services. And that's a national trend.
Yeah. What's the waiting list at the moment?
2 to 3 weeks, and that will grow now that we received our contract last week. We received a reduction of another $504,000 this year.
And what? How significant is that in terms of your overall budget?
Our DASA dollars was roughly $2.4 million, and that's about a 20% cut overall of that budget.
Hmm. As I understand it, the film, a portion of which will be screened tonight, treats addiction as a treatable disease and a disease of the brain. Why is addiction considered a brain disease?
Well, relapse and the triggers for relapse are really controlled mainly by a lot of neurons within the brain system. And part of what we're going to do tonight is show a film, a couple of snippets of the HBO series, of which we talk about the science that's emerging on the brain chemistry. Once we start to zero in on the chemistry of the brain, there are a number of medications that are helpful for addicts to recover, and the medications gives them a better chance in the recovery process because it reduces cravings.
Is behavioral therapy still part of the picture today in treatment?
Oh, yes. The brain chemistry itself is just emerging. There's been a lot of research for 25 years, and a lot of that now is starting to come together and augment each one of the series of treatments that we do. So, you know, we will do a combination of things, and we have our physician who will be there tonight to talk about that.
Yeah. How many medications are out there available now for treatment?
Well, Suboxone is out there. We've got Vivitrol that's out there. We have a bunch of other ones that are still in trial basis right now. And, you know, we have our physician right now who is certified in addictionology, and he's able to prescribe a number of these medications for people.
Now, with the medications that we have today and with behavioral therapy, how common is relapse?
Relapse is about a 40% occurrence. It's no different than I think that if you were somebody who was diabetic and never took your insulin shots. I think the incidence is about the same. or if you were suffering from hypertension or depression, if you do not take your medications or you do not engage in therapy, your relapse shoots up dramatically.
Mm. You know, we know that the brains of adolescents and adults are different. That's another thing that we've learned in recent years about the brain.
Mm-hmm.
How does substance abuse and addiction affect the adolescent brain? How is it different? Is it different?
Well, it is different because the brain is always emerging as an adolescent, and the research will show now that the younger you start using, and the onset of using a substance is, you know, probably you will have a greater impact on your condition to be a chronic user. So what we have seen with the studies in Illinois, and I think the research that's showing us on a national level, is kids are using younger. They're using more often, and you've probably heard the term binge drinking or binge using. And so that is becoming more of a problematic thing. Some of our adults who now report to us when they come in for treatment, they began to use at 6, 7, and 8. And they don't become a problem until you reach about junior high level when you start to act out behaviors. So kids are using a lot younger.
Why?
Well, I think it's prevalent. I think we see a lot of homes that are using. I think the one thing that we see arise is a lot of kids are now starting to use medications that grandparents have or their parents have, and they're starting to abuse those medications. They're selling them. I think our society is basically, you know, a medically based society, and I think you're going to see more and more of that happen. So I think the access to drugs and alcohol are out there.
Mm. Has science answered definitively the question why some people become addicted while others do not?
Well, there's a number of theories. I mean, you know, it can be environmental. It could be the genetic itself. You're prone more, you're dispositioned is that you might become chronic alcoholic if you were raised in a family and both of your parents had, you know, a tendency with the chromosome and the genetic predisposition. Pretty much sets the way genetically for you that if you are not aware of these things, you know, in your past or part of your upbringing, they'll come to probably come back and bite you a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of awareness, I want to go back to the issue of 6 and 7-year-olds abusing substances, whether it be prescription drugs, illegal drugs, alcohol. What can parents do to increase their awareness? What are the signs that a 6 or 7-year-old is in trouble?
Well, I think that you start to see some of the things like kids starting to go into under the cabinets and they're looking for aerosols. I think you see some medication that might be missing. You're looking at your vials and you're going, well, I don't remember taking all of that, and that's starting to miss. And you're finding maybe your watered-down alcohol in your home. You're finding, you know, volumes of that are going. And you're just getting the suspicion that there's this going on. And then you will see things like the mood swings, and you will see some depression, and you will also see the anger that comes out of young people. And a lot of that has to do with they have a traumatized past. My experience in working with adolescents is that part of the therapy is the most effective piece is finding where that trauma lies and then working through that. And then that exposes why they're self-medicating to get beyond that pain.
For the discussion that will follow the screening of The Science of Addiction this evening, who will be on hand to answer questions from the audience?
We have a panel, and we've done this. This is our fourth experience in the community. We've gone to all three counties in the area. Dr. Monahan is our physician on staff. We have Brenda Smith, who is an RN that is over at the mental health. We have Brenda Nelson, who is a consumer and will give some life experiences that she went through. Our outpatient supervisor, Mary Evans, will also be there. And we have some faith-based people that will also be there. I can't give you their names right now because some of them we want to remain anonymous. So So we have a host of a panel that will give their experiences as well as retrieve any questions people might ask.
Now, for people who are listening this afternoon who are in need of information mm-hmm. about substance abuse and addiction but are unable to attend tonight's presentation, where might they turn to learn more about the science of addiction?
They can call Prairie Center. We do have a number of these tapes. This is the HBO series that was a 90-minute documentary. It was done back, I think, in 2007. And there are a number of these available, and they can come here to 718 Killarney, or they can just come here and or call here. And if they're looking for information at our outpatient services here or in Danville, or if they just want to come in and check out one of these addiction series, they can do it.
Okay. Bruce Swardini, thank you very much for talking with me this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having us.
My pleasure. The moderator of tonight's event, Prairie Center CEO Bruce Swardini, my guest in this portion of the program. Prairie Center Health Systems will screen a portion of the award-winning 2007 HBO documentary Addiction this evening at the First United Methodist Church at 210 West Church Street in Champaign. A discussion will follow. The event from 7 o'clock to 8:30 tonight is free and open to the public.
Earth and sky.
We have to reduce the amount of carbon we're putting in the atmosphere. We have to make sure energy is as affordable as possible, and we have to make sure that it is as secure as possible.
You're listening to James Woolsey, who from 1993 to 95 was director of the CIA. Woolsey spoke at the 2009 National Academy of Sciences Summit on America's Climate Choices about the relationship between climate change, U.S. energy use, and national security.
Take, as an example, moving away from oil as our source for 97% of our transportation and moving toward electricity.
A switch to plug-in hybrid vehicles, he said, could strengthen national security.
Our oil dependence problem that has created a situation where oil being in the hands of a lot of dictatorships and autocratic kingdoms that don't like us very much.
Woolsey pointed to recent studies. They show that plug-in hybrid cars on an electric grid powered by coal generate less CO2 than internal combustion engines. You've been listening to James Woolsey, now with the venture capital firm Vantage Point. This is Earth Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Programs on WILL are made possible with support from Sinfonia da Camera, whose 26th season explores literary and musical themes from opera to Broadway, featuring works from Beethoven to Coltrane.